Good word to begin us this morning. Psalm 25, it's in your bulletin. You can turn your Bible. We'll begin our day with some scripture. Psalm 25, I'm going to ask Dr. Terwilliger if he'll make his way up here to the pulpit to begin our service in prayer as well in just a moment. Psalm 25, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And I know we can all say amen to that, brother. John Terwilliger, if you'll lead us in prayer, please. Thank you, sir.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us and your many blessings you so richly bestowed upon us. We thank you most of all for your gift of salvation that you sent your Son to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins and the sins of the whole world, and that he rose on the third day that we might have eternal life. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, that today would be that day of salvation for them, Lord. Pray that you would give Pastor the message that we need to hear, Lord. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. Help us to apply your message to our lives, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take our hymn books and turn to page 508. This is a testimony of each of our hearts. Love lifted me. 508. Sing it on the first verse now.
I was singing these hymns, and sparkles of good before.
Away, stay standing. We're going to sing that chorus one more time. The instruments are going to start us out, then they're going to drop off. When we get to that ending, put in all the harmonies on Love Lifted Me on the ending there. Here we go on the chorus now.
Love lifted me, love.
Your testimony, say amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Listen to the Marinchenkos singing, play an old favorite. God bless you. Amen.
Grand old song, Bringing in the Sheaves, and that's good. Thank you, thank you. And their daddy has his 49th birthday today, so Pavel, we say happy birthday. And they should have sung happy birthday to you while they were up here. We've got to say also happy birthday to Patty Cox. I guess she's in the choir behind me. I have these on the list here. And Sandy Scrimshire, these have been given to me. Happy birthday to Sandy. And just delighted for all of you. That's a wonderful thing. And good to have birthdays. I saw Stanley this morning. I said, how you doing? He said, just getting older every day. I said, You know how to stop that, don't you? But that's good. That's good. Good to see many folks that have been sick and able to be back with us. And that's good. Won't you pray for Brother Dick? He's in the hospital with another aneurysm. I saw Hope right over here. And be much in prayer for him. Alan George, of course, was mentioned in Sunday school. And Anita, her white blood count is back up a little bit today, up to 4.5. And so that's good. Was down to 1 this week on Thursday. And so be much in prayer for all of these folks. Good to see Letha back today. Letha Heath is here. Thank you for the flowers, the prayers, the cards, the visits during my recovery. And Letha, good. I don't know where you are, but I saw her come in without a cane or a walker or anything. And that's good. And these replacement parts, I don't know how they do all that. But, I mean, they just take a knee out and put another one in. And, I mean, that's good, I guess. Well, if you're visiting with us today, we are delighted that you've come to be here in the service with us. I hope you got a bulletin. Is there anyone who did not get a bulletin that would like to have one? Anybody, anywhere, you did not get a bulletin? Let's see. We have some in various places. Ushers, if you could help me with this a little bit, right down this aisle right here. Okay, if you just hold your hand up and wave at them. And if they don't see your hand, take a songbook and wave your songbook. And if they don't see that, throw something at them. They'll get there. They'll get there after a while. But we'd like you to take this flap we've added into the bulletin, and it's perforated. Fill that out, if you would, if you're visiting with us today here on August the 23rd. Good, hot, humid day, the way Florida's supposed to be. It's just the way it's supposed to be. And so we don't complain about that. We rejoice in it. And other people may, I think other people in other places are having it hot also. And so I don't think we have any copyright on that. I was in Texas a few weeks ago in the Dallas area. It's hard to be in an area like that where there are hundreds, maybe thousands of square miles of concrete and it not just pulsate with heat. And they say, but it's a dry heat. You know, blowing your hair dry with a hair dryer is dry heat.
Yeah.
But I don't like it blowing in my face. I just don't. And that's just like what it is. But anyway, enough of that. I'm happy to be here, and I'm glad you're here. Visitors, we're delighted to have you. Fill out that part of the bulletin. Tear it out. Drop it in the offering plate or bring it by. Bring it by a little reception we have for you right out this middle door at the back and to the right immediately. We would like you to be there and just to meet you and say hi to you and get to know you a little bit. That would be a wonderful thing if you'll take time to do that, and I hope you will. Now, there's a lot of announcements in your bulletin, and I'm sure there'll be more to say about that later. But in the coming events inside your bulletin there, it says that CMA... And those of you who work in CMA looked at that and panicked just a little bit. But we will start on the 10th, on September the 10th, not September the 3rd. And this Thursday night will be the presentation from the Summer Drama Club that has been meeting this summer. And I think you'll like their presentation. That's this Thursday night. So I hope you'll do that and hope you'll be here for all of that. What I would like to do right now, if you'll let me have this other microphone here, Robbie, I would appreciate it. What we'll do is I want everybody here today, now not if you're going to school, but if you're somehow involved in teaching, maybe you drive a school bus, maybe you're a crossing guard, this is homeschool, private school, public school, college, elementary school, high school, everything. You're involved in the education process on some level. I want you to come forward. I want you to come right now. Oh, boy, I hope your young people respond that energetically in your class this year. Yeah, I hope they're really into that the way you are. What we want to do is we want to have a word of prayer, and we have a little gift for you. The gift that we have for you is, the title of it is Faith, Family, Freedom, Handbook on Faith, Family, and Freedom. And it is a wonderful
outline of our country and what our country is all about and the spiritual heritage in our country. And I hope you'll enjoy that. Well, I see high school teachers and I see elementary school teachers and I see college teachers and I see all levels and all that. That's great and that's wonderful. Isn't that good? What a fantastic thing for these folks that are involved in this. And I'm going to take a look at it. Get a good look at them. They are back at it. They are back at it. And parents are breathing a sigh of relief, and they're taking on your burden. And so pray much for them this year. I hope you'll do that. And I hope you'll express appreciation right now to them for what they do. Give them a good hand. I do want to have a word of prayer with you and ask God's blessing upon you to give you wisdom in this challenge that's before you this year. I wish we had enough money to give everybody one of these books. It's well done, well put together. A man by the name of Andrew Phipps put it together. He's a rather well-known fellow up in Indiana and a good believer, knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate his ministry and his work so very, very much. And whenever we saw this, we thought about what we could do for teachers this year. And we could give you all markers. We could give you all, you know, you can never have too many highlighters. There's no such thing as having too many highlighters. And all kinds of things like that that would help you. But I think this will really be something you'll enjoy and be a blessing to you. I think you'll find it incorporated into what you teach this year. Let's have prayer. Father, all the way through your word, you've told us to read, to study, and to prepare and develop the mind that you have given us. Lord, it seems that some are blessed with greater abilities in that area than others of us are. But Father, I do pray that you'll help all of us, old and young, to continue to learn and to develop those abilities that you've given us. And Father, I do pray that we'll use it not just for self and not certainly not for the world, but we'll use it for your glory. I pray for these who are involved with, generally speaking, they're involved with people younger than they are in the teaching and training, the instruction and the discipline of young lives that are entrusted into their care. I pray, Lord, you'll give them patience. I pray you'll give them love and concern. And I pray you'll give them ability beyond their training. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will guide them and direct them, and that they'll have the wisdom to lean on you and look to you. I pray this year will be a good year for them as they learn from you and as they communicate and teach those to whom they're responsible. Father, I pray you'll bless them, help them, keep them well. I pray you'll give them energy and strength for the job ahead of them. I ask you to be near to them in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And as your pastor again to you, all of you, I say thank you for the job you do and the challenge before you. And do good. Okay? All right. Give them a good hand. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I want you to turn to number 510 in your hymn book. 510 is not an ancient song, but it seems like we've sung it so much. Brother Mark's going to come lead us. Would you stand? Heaven came down. Glory filled my soul. 510.
Wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior.
compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with him telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
On the second now,
born of the Spirit with light from above, into God's family divine. Just
because there's a lot of choir folks that are out here, Pastor. There's a lot of folks that should be singing in God's choir before you get up there. Amen. Let's sing in the last verse, and on the last line, we'll repeat that. We'll repeat that last line on the ending. Here we go.
Now I will hope that the truth is good after the passing of time. I will be good and
come forward, if you will, and we'll receive our offering today. Well, today's the fourth Sunday of August. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of August, but tonight we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. I hope you'll be for that, be here for that. Yeah, it'll be a good time together. I look over here and I see Ruth is not able to be here today because she's having heart difficulties. And I hope you'll pray much for Ruth. The Lord knows her, knows who she is. Dear saint of the Lord. And of course, they're so concerned about that. But let's give unto the Lord today. Sometimes we say, and I say, let's give as unto the Lord. We don't give as unto the Lord, we give to the Lord. And so it's in reality that way that we do. So I hope you give today, you will not just see an offering plate, you'll not just see a building, and you'll not just see people around you, but somehow it will be truly an experience of worship as we give today. Father, we do ask that you bless as we give. We honor you. We glorify you. We recognize that everything we have, everything we are, our very breath is a gift from you. And now, Lord, we come really just to give a token back to you of that you have blessed us with. Lord, you set up the pattern for that, and we want to follow that. We pray for your work around the world. I pray for our missionaries that will be supported out of what we give today. I ask your blessing upon them. Be near to them and sustain them. Bless the effectiveness of their work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, hallelujah for the cross. Wonderful. My, what a medley song about the cross. And I was thinking, we ought to have that tonight. But I think they have another one for us tonight as we come to the Lord's Supper. But after that, I think we ought to decide to follow Jesus. Let's stand together and sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. Words are in your bulletin if you need them. I have decided to follow Jesus. Around you as the choir comes down. Welcome each other to the service today. Find somebody you don't know. Introduce yourself. So much, you may be seated. Amen. Hope you enjoy the ladies as they sing, and you're blessed by the song. The reason I sing.
All things when He is my peace.
Sing, you do always have a song, and that's wonderful. Modell, good to see you here today. I'm glad you're able to be here. God bless your heart. We've prayed for you. Modell Varner and Garnet's home going, and we pray for you. God will continue to bless and help you and sustain you. God bless your heart. Well, today is Back to School Sunday. Back to School Sunday. We've recognized teachers, and those are involved in the process of this year. And giving them a little gift. I do not do well with Back to School Sunday because I never did like back to school. That was just the way of it. I went to school, I think, for a total of 19 years. And beyond the first day, I never enjoyed a day of it. I started school in a little one-room schoolhouse. That was the property next to our little farm in the country, there in the mountains. And we were close enough that I would run off from home and go to the school. Now, it really made sense to me because that's where the kids are and that's where you could play. And I liked to go there and play. And if I would hear them out at recess, I would run off from the house. And Mother knew where to find me, I guess. I'd sneak out and go. And I would be up there, teacher would send me home. Finally, that fall, Mrs. Anderson said to my mom, she said, "You may as well let him come on school. He comes up here all the time anyhow." And it's interesting enough, you know, that whenever I had to start going, I had to go. Then I didn't want to go. That's kind of like girls like to wash dishes until they're old enough to really do it. And then they don't like to do that anymore. Guys, little boys, they like to mow the grass until they're old enough to mow the grass, and then they don't like to mow the grass anymore. All those kinds of things that happen. I don't know if this still happens in school or not, but I remember in school, and I remember in college, and I have a good memory of, no, it's not a good memory, it's a bad memory of this, that if you didn't pass a course, you had to repeat it. You had to go back and do it again. And that happened. I remember sometimes in school, somebody would be held over and have to repeat an entire grade. Now, whether that still happens or not, but I heard about a fella, he spent the three best years of his life in the sixth grade. And sometimes we have to be retaught. We have to go through that thing again. In West Virginia, they would not let us take breaks at work because it took too much time to retrain us. Now, those of you that are here from West Virginia, you can tell that on anybody you want to. You can, whatever. Okay. But I want you to look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 12. We're going to center our attention on verse 12 because this is where the statement is made that you need to be taught again. You need to be taught again. You need to be retrained. Verse 12, chapter 5, book of Hebrews. For when for the time, That's in other words, it's been long enough. It's been long enough. You ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He said, you've been saved long enough, you ought to be teaching others. When you should be maturing, you're still babies. When you should be contributing to the fellowship, you're draining from it. When you should be teaching, you need to be taught. When you should be chewing meat, you're still living on milk. You're going to have to take that class again. You're going to have to go back through that. Now, these people had been taught, and they had learned. Now, here he's talking to Jewish believers. But back in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he says a similar thing to the Christians at Corinth. And these were Gentile believers at Corinth. And he says to them, I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual. Couldn't talk to you like spiritual people. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I've fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. There's among you envying, strife, divisions. Are you not carnal? And you walk as men, as mere men, as people who are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, of people who are mere children of the earth and not children of God. Every teacher here has had the experience, and every parent here has had the experience of teaching someone something, teaching your child something. And honestly, they forget it. And you have to go back and you have to reteach that. You do that again. Sometimes a child will spell a word correctly. The next time you see them, they write the word, they spell it incorrectly, and you have to go back and do that again. And I think sometimes in the Christian life, we get to the point that we are just redoing, redoing, redoing. Now, there's some reasons for that, but he talks about that here with the people who are called the Hebrews, Jewish believers. This book written particularly to them. I want you to look, first of all, the cause of that condition. The cause of that condition is given in verse 11. And the verse says this, that you are, and this is the phrase that's in there that I want to call your attention to, dull of hearing. We have many things to say. Now, he's speaking about a pretty heavy subject down through here. He's talking about Jesus Christ being an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the order of Melchizedek and the high priestly order after Melchizedek, though he's writing to Jews, Melchizedek was not a Jewish priest. He was a Gentile priest. And he was not a priest in Judaism. He was a priest outside the priestly tribe of Levi and outside the priestly family of Aaron. He was outside that. And the Messiah was to be a priest after the order of a Gentile priest. Now, they learned that. They learned that. Because Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi, and he was not of the family of Aaron. But he is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And they had learned that
But somehow, Paul says to them, and I believe Paul's the writer, different people would differ with that, but that's okay. We do know the Holy Spirit is the one who's writing, whomever he used. And so, he's writing to them and saying, I've taught you that. You've learned that. But somehow you've gotten away from that. You're being drawn back into that old way of thinking. He says, you're dull of hearing. Duh. I don't know that there's any grammatical basis for that, and I don't know there's any definition for that, but somehow we understand it, okay? It communicates. How do you be dull of hearing? It means to not really get it. You don't get it. Now, some people don't get it because they're absent from class. I had this happen to me in college. I was sick one semester, and I missed so many classes that I just had to give up on that semester. I just had to go home for that semester because I had missed too many classes because I had not gotten the information that had been given, that had been taught. Though I might read the textbook, though I might study, and though I might even pass some tests, I had missed too much material that had been given in the class for me to fulfill those classes of that year. And so I had to go home. Some people are just absent from class. They don't hear because they're not there. They're not present to hear. Other people are dull of hearing because of inattention. Now, I never thought I needed to take notes in class. I didn't think that was important at all until one day the teacher said, you're going to be tested over your notes from class lectures this past week. Notes? Well, that was a new experience. I had not paid attention enough to take notes. I think everyone has experienced this in some class at some time. For me, it was the first class of the morning, an early class. We had 8 o'clock classes. And the 8 o'clock class was very difficult for me to stay awake, particularly when it was called History of Civilizations. I learned to hold my pencil like this. And whenever my pencil dropped out of my hand, it would wake me up. I thought I had the teacher but it didn't prove to be that way. Some people sleep in class. Other people listen to other things. Some people have conversations going on while the teacher is lecturing. Some people are writing notes. Some people are looking at other things. Some people have a library book or a Louis L'Amour in their textbook when they're supposed to have it open and be following the class. They're not paying attention. They're looking out the window. Some people in class, and I promise you I could do this. I could give you the number of ceiling tile in each classroom that I frequented each semester. I could do that. Give me a test on that. I'll pass that. Dull of hearing. Now, it's an interesting thing. Though you may be absent from class, though you may be inattentive in class, Though you may sleep in class, you are still responsible for the material that's given. That's true in an earthly classroom, and that's true before the Lord. A teacher has the responsibility to impart material, and a pastor has the responsibility. A preacher has the responsibility. A teacher has the responsibility in Christian realms to give truth, and they will answer to God for the giving of that truth. But it's an awesome thing that those who are under their care are responsible for the truth they give, whether they're there or not, whether they pay attention or not, or whether they practice it or not. Because you see, the ultimate confirmation of learning is incorporating it into your life. Now, the preacher can preach about prayer, but if you don't pray, it doesn't help anything in your life. Preacher can preach about witnessing, but if you don't witness, it doesn't help anything in your life. You can hear, but if you do not incorporate that. Now, the teacher may teach you how to solve a mathematical problem, but if you do not take that and solve problems with that, there's not really a permanence in the learning of it. As a much younger man, I learned, and there's no deaf here today, so I can say this without being too embarrassed. I learned sign language. I learned sign language to the point I was ready to interpret sermons. But I have not followed that. I have not used that. I have not done that for 40 years. Now, I still can say a few words. I can still say thank you. You know, I can still greet people and good to see you. I can do those things, but as far as taking the Word of God, and I can talk about the Bible, which is the Jesus book, the Jesus, pointing like to nail prints, book, the Jesus book, the Bible, I know that. I know salvation, breaking the chains. I know, but as far as what I learned back then, if I were to have to communicate with death, if I were to have to do that, I'm going to have to take that class again. Because I've not incorporated it and kept that active. What I learned, I have not kept active in my life. There was dullness of hearing. Now, I would encourage you, not because I'm standing here, but because of the responsibility all of us have in this thing, I would encourage all of us to be in class, to be attentive, and incorporate it into our lives what we learn. Number two, the consequences of their condition. Look at the consequences of their condition in verse 12. And it's serious consequences. He said, for when for the time, in other words, it is the time, that you ought to be teachers. Oh, so there has time passed enough in these lives that they ought to be teachers. Now, if they ought to be teachers, that means that there's some people not being taught that should be taught. There's work that should be being done that's not being done. Now, this is not talking about being called to the pastorate. It's not talking about pastoring a church. It's not necessarily being called to the mission field. It's not necessarily teaching a Sunday school class. But this is talking about being able to, with others, discuss intellectually and instruct those that are younger out of the Word of God, at the truth of God's Word. He said, for when the time is now that you should be able to do that, you should be able to take the Bible and say, this is the Old Testament, this is the New Testament, this is the Pentateuch, this is history, this is the poetry books, these are the prophecy books. The prophecy books are divided into major and minor prophets. Then we come to the New Testament, and we have the Gospel, and we have the history book of the Acts. And then we have the epistles, instructions that are written. We have the Pauline epistles. We have Hebrews. We have them from Peter. We have James. We have John. And then we have Jude, which is the prelude to the book of prophecy, the one book of prophecy that's completely centered on prophecy in the New Testament. And that's the book of Revelation. You ought to be able to do that, and at some point in your life, you could do that as fluently and as easily and maybe even better than I did right then. But you don't do that now. You got to take a class again. You got to re-up there and go back through that again. And because of that, some are having to carry an extra load. There are some people having to take up the slack that you're leaving by not being able to do that. Because he said you ought to be able to do that. It may be that someone is having to teach your children whatever you should be teaching your children. It may be that you're depending on church to do that for you completely. The church is not equipped to take the place of a parent. It's not designed to do that. We try to help and do what we can, but it's not designed to do that. Some are not being taught at all. Some are slowing the work of God. And time's wasting. Time's wasting. And time will never be recalled. We cannot change the past. We cannot reclaim the past. This moment gone will never return. Now we can learn from the past. We can profit from the past. But we're not going to reclaim the past. And that's the consequences of this condition. There are things not being done in the work of God that could be done, that should be done, that need to be done. Why? Because that when you, for the time that you've been saved, you ought to be teachers, you have need that somebody, instead of teaching the others that are there, they've got to go back and teach you again. We've got to go through this again. You say, well, How do I avoid that? Don't be dull of hearing. Duh. Pay attention. Pay attention. Incorporate it. Incorporate it into your life. Make it part of you. Prove those things that are right. Work it out. Do those things. Don't be dull of hearing. The consequences? Avoid the consequences. Well, what's the cure? What's the cure where in the condition? He said, you have need. When you have need, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again. Someone's got to teach you again. Okay, if somebody's got to teach you again, don't wait any longer. Get back in class. Get back in class. Get in that place of relearning that. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Same book, chapter 10, verse 25, Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some is. but so much more as we see the day approaching. It seems as if the admonition to those people and the instruction and admonition to us is not that we drop services from our schedule, but that we add services to our schedule. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Get back to class. Number two, listen to the teacher. Listen to the teacher. Did anybody ever in school have a boring teacher? Oh, man, I can see him right now. Somehow, in my experience, they were all boring. I don't know how that worked. I think it was not the teacher's problem, probably. It was my problem. If you're going to listen to the teacher, say, well, preacher, you're just, you want us to listen to you, huh? No, I want you to listen to the teacher. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God moved upon men and gave them the words of this book. Wouldn't it be great if in your math class you have this book on mathematics and all of a sudden one day the teacher who wrote that book shows up to teach your class? Wow! That would really be something. I think that should get your attention. Well, every time you open this book, and you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit shows up to teach you His book. Listen to the teacher. Listen to the teacher. It took me a while to adapt to the day in which we live, but I do know now how to turn a computer on. I do know a little bit about how to work an iPad. And I can even make a phone call on my phone. Do a few more things with it too. Almost every Bible study program I have, whenever it goes into the commentaries, and it takes the commentaries, Clark, Barnes, Doddridge, Matthew Henry, all of them. And it goes down alphabetically through the commentaries that are in that Bible study program. Whenever you come down to the M's, it has a little place there you can click on My Notes. Isn't that interesting? And My Notes are right in there with John Wesley. And My Notes are right in there with Matthew Henry. I mean, you can click on My Notes as easy as you can click on their notes. On every verse. On every verse that's there. That's an amazing thing. That the Holy Spirit can take all of those things and teach me from those things. But He doesn't just teach me to increase my knowledge. I learned something this week. It's always good to learn something. I learned that there is a National Bible Bee. National Bible Bee. Now, I knew they did this in Israel. Like him or not, Benjamin Netanyahu's son, for the last few years, has won the test in Israel that they give everybody that wants to participate on Bible knowledge. And of course, that's Old Testament, but on Bible knowledge, Benjamin Netanyahu's son has won that. He's probably out of school now and is not involved in it. But there is a National Bible Bee. And it is a contest, like a spelling bee, But people, young people, are given passages of the Bible to memorize, and there is a contest, regional and then national, that kids come together and quote the Bible. It's a phenomenal thing. The girl they were interviewing, the year she won $100,000. And they're somehow doing a TV adaptation of it and so forth like that. And she won, she didn't win the regular competition, but she won the TV competition. She won $270,000 for quoting the Bible. And she talked about, in the interview, she talked about memorizing Hebrews 6 and 7 and how hard it was for her to really get those concepts in her mind until she had read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. Then those concepts begin to come into mind. Young people, I would challenge you to that. You say, well, where is, I don't know how to get in touch with them. Google it. National Bible Bee, NBB. Do your homework. Okay? Get in class. Listen to the teacher. Do your homework. Do your homework. In other words, take what you learn in class and take it home and solve problems at home on the basis of what you learn in the class. It's back to school. Here we go. Use what you learn. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. Grow in grace. And grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you do that? Why do you grow in knowledge? Why do you grow in knowledge? Why do we impart knowledge? Why do we learn things? Now, I talk about National Bible Bee. That's a wonderful thing. But if the only thing a person does is learn to quote words, they're not benefited by that. Nobody around them is benefited by that. $100,000 may benefit them in their education or something like that. And that would be good and that would be fine. But there's something that you've got to be careful of, and it's the truth of 1 Corinthians 13. Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. If the only reason you learn is for intellectual achievement, not for life transformation, then the only thing that happens is you get on an ego trip because of how smart you are in the Bible. Grow. Sure, grow. Grow in grace, yes. And grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last verse of 2 Peter. Grow, grow. There's a prerequisite to growth, though. There has to be life before there can be growth. You've got to be alive. If you're going to grow spiritually, you have to be alive spiritually. And the only way to be alive spiritually is to be born spiritually. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, Jesus said to Nicodemus, that I say unto you, you must be born again. Question number one, that's the lesson for the day, okay? That's the lecture. Here's the test. Are you born again? Amen. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have spiritual life? Question number two. Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Practically, are you a better Christian now than you were last year? Are you a better Christian now than you were at any other time in your life? If there was ever a time in your life that you were closer to the Lord than you are now, you are to that degree backslidden.
You're going to have to take that class again. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many of you here this morning would say, "Preacher, I do have spiritual life. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my own Savior." Would you raise your hand? I have done that. Okay, you may put them down. Maybe some of you could not raise your hand honestly to that, but you're concerned about that. We would love to open the Bible with you and show you how to be born into God's family and to receive Jesus Christ and to receive His life by receiving Him. In a moment, we're going to ask you to come right down here to the front. We could come to where you are if we knew where you are, but if you would, there's nothing sacred about walking down to the front except that lets us know that you have an interest and that you want to know about this, and we can open the Bible with you and pray with you and show you from the Word of God how that can happen and how you can know that it happened. But you raised your hand. I'm God's child. I have spiritual life. Are you growing? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but was there a time in your life when you were closer to the Lord than you are now? Don't you think it's time to get back in there and get that thing back to where it ought to be? Submit yourself to the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God by those that He brings you into contact with to teach you the Word of God. Don't you think that'd be a good thing to do? Will you do that? There may be some that need to come forward and just come down to the front just as an open statement to the Lord. And it seals it in your mind and say, "Lord, this is my determination. This is my determination. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to do that." There may be some here this morning God has spoken to you about becoming a member of this church. We would welcome you. If this is God's place for you, don't be any other place. Be in God's place. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We're going to ask God to have His way at this time right now. And if God's spoken to your heart, we invite you to come. We wait a moment. We wait a moment. If God's spoken to your heart, this is it. Now, will you come? Will you come? Well, thank you so much. You may be seated. I've been through a course that I got by the skin of my teeth. I'm so glad I didn't have to take them over. I took some courses. I didn't get any extra points toward graduation, but I got through. I had a Greek teacher. Now, I took 4 semesters of Greek. I learned enough Greek to be dangerous. I mean, just dangerous. Had a wise teacher. He said to us, he said, young people, he said, I know there's probably not going to be 2 or even 1 of you in this class that are going to become Greek scholars. But he said, I'll give you enough basis. If you want to become a Greek scholar, you can have a basis on this to go from. He said, I'll give you that. You can have that. But he said, you're going to learn. You are going to learn. Now, he said, you may not do very well, but he said, if you will get up to the fence, I'll push you over. He said, I'll get you over the fence if you'll get up to it. And so he did. He helped me over. Really, it was embarrassing to me that Becky made straight A's in it, but I could probably have her come to the microphone right now and recite the Greek alphabet and quote John 3:16 in Greek, right? But get in class and learn it. Come here.
Ashlyn.
Is that right? Ashlyn. Ashlyn Streeter. I can't believe this kid's 13 years old. So, what happened to your hair? Is that dyed in there, or is that something you put on it?
It's dyed.
It's dyed?
Mm-hmm.
So getting baptized is not going to wash it out?
Nope.
I can pray for that, can't I? Ashlyn, let me ask you this. I've asked you this already, but I'm going to ask you in front of all these people. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you?
Yes.
And have you trusted Jesus Christ as your own Savior?
Yes, I did.
And now you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and go on and live for Him. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. God bless you. If you rejoice with her, would you let her know it by saying a good warm amen?
Amen.
And let's say welcome, okay? Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to the family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters, come on in. Welcome to the family of God. Thank you so much. Jenny, you going to go with her? Okay, very good. And y'all can get ready and get everything up there taken care of. Brother Mark, if you would share some announcements with us and visitors, if you'd stop by the reception area. It's right out through the back door. If you brought a visitor with you today, we'd want you to come. Bring your visitor by. And I'd surely like to meet them. It'll be a minute or two before I get back there. But I want to say goodbye to the folks on live stream. And then I'll be right back there in that place, and be ready to baptize in just a moment.
Ladies, September 11th and 12th, ladies gathering. It's going to be a fun, wonderful, blessed time, and the fellowship is worth coming for if you don't like any of the things we talk about. It's just going to be a good time. We're going to even have craft tables where you can spend money, and you can just have a wonderful time and just eat all the time we're there. So I want you to sign up today at the table right back in that corner over there. The charge is $15. That's for covering all the craft supplies, because we're going to teach you how to do some things, and I think you'll have a wonderful time. But please, please sign up so we can arrange and have all the craft supplies we need. Thank you.
Did you do the Greek alphabet? You're not going to do the Greek alphabet. Well,
You can do it, you're just not going to. Oh, that's just, oh, I don't think you can. I just think you're saying. Go on, Mark. You may have to moderate this thing. You got any appointments open this week for marriage counseling?
Oh, my. We never have fun around here. We never have fun. Oh, it's great. Hey, Thursday night. Make sure and come Thursday night, 7 o'clock. The young people have been practicing all summer, the children's drama. This is the summer rendition of the Children's Music Academy that runs all through the school year. But through the summer, it's a children's drama, and they have a little play that they're going to present, musical and all of that. And it's going to be very enjoyable this Thursday evening, 7 o'clock. So make sure and come for that, if you will. And then, of course, as Pastor mentioned, September the 10th, Children's Music Academy will be starting up again. And so I encourage you to get your young people enrolled in this. And they'll be learning all kinds of wonderful things about music and instruments, playing instruments. It's possible that there's going to be woodwind instruments, brass instrument, and a string instrument. Some people, God has worked some great miracles in providing some of these instruments. I think you're going to have maybe even learn how to play harp. And that's something that's very unique. And when we have our folks playing the harp here, it's a blessing in our church service. David played a harp, and it was greatly used of God. So that starts on September the 10th. 13th is Grandparents' Day. Invite you to be back for that on the 13th, the last Sunday of this month. On the 27th, that Sunday night, we'll have church service at the park in DeLand at Earl Brown Park. We've got the grill reserved, and we'll have a good time of fellowship. We'll eat at 5 o'clock and have our church service at 6. Lord willing, be outside, and we'll pray that God will give us a great evening of weather, and we'll have singing and have a marvelous time that evening. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Thank you very, very much, and I hope you will be back tonight. We celebrate the Lord's Supper and remember His death until He comes. Well, young Miss Streeter, come right in. Ashland, turn around if you will. Turn around, right here on this side. Turn around. There you go. Thank you. Be seated right there. Ashland, I'm so glad for you. Glad for your family. And I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you've trusted Christ. Upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You understand that's what you just did down front and what you did privately earlier, is that you confess publicly Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And in obedience to God. So we're obeying God when we do this. Obedience to God and God's command. I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Put both hands over your nose. Buried in the likeness of His death, and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Well, it has been done as the Lord commanded. Let's stand together if you would. Don't be in a big hurry, but shake hands with those around you. Be careful in the parking lot. And I hope you'll be back tonight. Brother Jim Lyle, if you would step up to the microphone and dismiss us in prayer. If you would do that, thank you so much for being here today, my friend.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for another soul to save, and I thank you, Lord, for this church. I pray, God, that you'll bless everybody this afternoon, and I bless you, give them rest and get them back tonight. And God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who saved us all. And God, I pray for this country and all those folks that are needing to be saved and need to be saved and want to be saved. I pray you'll help them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, they tell me to turn my microphone on, and you'll be able to hear me better out there in cyberland where you are on the live stream. It's a joy to have you with us here at the home place, even though you're not physically here in this building. I trust you enjoyed the service today. I enjoyed the music. The ladies sang beautifully in the choir. That medley of songs about the cross was really very good and a real blessing. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I hope you were there for the whole service. And, of course, we need to get back in the classroom. So I'm back to school, I'm sure, where you are. Many of you in other places have already started school. But I think it's this week that we start here in Volusia County. And so the kids are all pumped up for that. If you would, if you're involved in teaching in any level or involved in the education process in schools or anything like that, and you would like to have one of the books that we gave to our teachers here this morning, if you will email us right from the website there or however you'd want to do that, or call us or text us or anything you want to, we'd be glad to see to it that you get one of the books also. We'd mail you one if you would like to have that. And so we want you to be involved with our church in every way you possibly can, even though you're far from us. Hope you'll join us again tonight. If you would like to get some bread and some grape juice and participate with us in the Lord's Supper tonight from right there where you are, we encourage you to do that. However you would feel comfortable doing that. We live in a great day. It's an interesting thing that I can even offer you that opportunity. But thank you so much for being with us. God bless you, and I hope you'll join us again tonight.